Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 44, Mizmor, Mem Dalet. Amos Chacham suggests the Mizmor can be divided into two sections. The first one is praise to God, verses 2 to 9. And the second one is complaint to God, verses 10 to 27. Lamanatzeach livnei Korach mimaskil, once again, a type of psalm by the sons of Korach. Elohim be'ozneinu shamanu avotenu sipulanu po'al po'alta b'mehem b'mekedem. O God, we have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us the deeds you performed in their days and times of old. Ata yadcha goyim horashta v'titaim tara lumim v'tishalchem. You drove out the nations with your hand. You planted them. How you afflicted the people and cast them out. For they didn't get the land, our forefathers, in possession by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, because you accepted them. Verse 2 speaks of learning from our former generations about the greatness of God. We praise God for the wonders he does for us that we can see in real time. We rely on the testimony of our parents and their parents before them who offer the same testimony. The psalmist calls out directly to God, Nochach, saying he conquered the nations, using the word horashta to mean that God removed the nations from Israel in order that the nations of Israel can inherit it from the land of Israel, in order that the nation of Israel can inherit it. The next word, vatita'em, reminds us of the verse of the Song of the Sea, Naz Yashir, tivyemo vatita'emo. Bring them, people of Israel, and plant them into the land. Verse 4 continues the message that the nation does not conquer with swords, does not inherit by the might of their hand. Rather, God's great hand and the light of his face is what allows for the inheritance of the land. The next part of the section, verses 5 to 9, contrasts the wonders of the past with praising God for the things that he feels during his own time. He gets more personal, turning to God and calling him my king. Atahu Malki Elohim, Tzave Yeshuot Yaakov. You are my king, O God. Command Yeshua, deliverance. Becha Tzareinu Ninageach, Tzareinu Ninageach, B'Shimcha Navus Kameinu. Through you, we push out our enemies. Through your name, we trample down those who rise up against us. I don't trust my bow. I don't think my sword saves me, but you have saved us from our enemies. In God, we have gloried all day long, and we praise your name forever. Only with God's strength are their enemies pushed back. Through calling out in God's name, he writes, we will eviscerate those who stand up against them. One must not rely on one's bow, one's sword. In them, there is no salvation. Rather, in God, there is salvation, and the enemies will be humiliated. The section concludes with the psalmist saying, Be'lohim, in God we praised all day long. In your name we praise forever. The use of the word of the letter Bet, meaning in you, is repeated in verse 9 as in verse 6. Belief in God is much closer than believe of God or believe that God will do. Believing in implies that our relationship is one of complete submission to God and an inherent connection. But then, the psalm takes a turn we have seen many times in psalms. We can't ignore the pathos with which the psalmist calls out to God in pain, in suffering, in loneliness, that only God can fix. Tisimenu cherpalish chenenu lag rekelas lisvivotenu tisimenu mashal bagoyim manod rosh paluumi. Wow, five verses that all begin with the last word letter of the alphabet, the last the tuf tishivenu, titnenu, timkor, tisimenu. You cast us off. You put us to shame. You don't go forth with your armies. You make us turn back from the enemy. You've given us like sheep to be eaten. You scattered us among the nations. You sell your people for nothing. You do not ask for a high price. You make us taunt to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to those around us. This is harsh. This is a person calling out directly to God, saying what you've done. Note that despite in the praise section, he gets personal and speaks of my king. The complaint section is in the collective voice, mostly. Cast us off, put us to shame, our armies, give us like sheep, scatter us, sell us, make us ridiculed by our neighbors. The psalm turns very dark as the psalmist screams out to God in a somewhat audacious way, a way only a person suffering would be allowed. The first six verses speak out in the collective, as it's a type of shared responsibility, so as not to attack God individually. But then verse 16 becomes very personal. He says, Kol hayom klimati negdi uvoshet panai kisitani. Mikol mecharef megadef mipnei oyev mitnaken. My confusion is before me all day, and the shame of my face has covered me because of the voice of him who taunts and blasphemes, because of the enemy and the avenger. We have seen time and time again the concern of the psalmist over shame and embarrassment at the hands of the enemy. In ancient times, as with today, the personal feelings of inadequacy, of being ridiculed, and confusion and lack of clarity seem to have a major impact on people's psyche. The next section continues. Kol zot batnu v'lo shechachnucha v'lo shikarnu bivritecha. All this has come upon us, yet we have not forgotten you, nor have we been false to your covenant. Lo nasoga chol libeinu v'teita shureinu mipnei orchacha. Our heart has not turned back. Our steps have not departed. Ki dikitanu b'makom tanim v'techas alenu b'tzal mavet. Im shachachnu shem eloheinu v'nifros kapenu l'elzar. Halo Elohim yachkarzo ki yodea talumot leif. Though you have crushed us and covered us with the shadow of death, if we've forgotten the name of God, you know God. You know the secrets of our heart. Despite the onslaught of the enemy, the fear and shame they experience, the psalm continues with a show of allegiance to God. Even in the midst of the suffering, we have nevertheless not forgotten you, nor lied or rejected your covenant, says the psalmist. Returning to the collective, he offers justification to God on behalf of the group who have not yet forsaken him, have not backtracked on faith and prayer. He recites, even as you crushed us and placed us in dire locations, even as the shadowy death locations covered us, we have not forgotten you. God, after all, knows the truth in their hearts. And as a result, they're not afraid to come and to God with a willingness to be judged. Their pain does not seem justified to them, and they want answers. The final verse of the section is quite horrifying in its clarity, describing their situation. He writes, Ki alecha horagnu kol hayom. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That evokes many images in our minds. Slaughtered every day like sheep. The slaughtering, though, he reminds God, is alecha, upon you, in God's name, standing firm in his faith. This notion of dying on him, on God, is a source of the common expression of people dying Al Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name. Whenever a Jew is killed for simply being Jewish, he or she is deemed Kadosh, and their death is considered a sanctification of the name of God. This then is the final statement that the psalmist makes in describing their sorry state before the ask, God for salvation. Ura lama tishan Adonai akitzal tiznach lanetzach. Lama panecha tastir tishkach aneinu v'lachatzeinu. Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaves the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for the sake of your loving kindness. Asking God why he sleeps is quite audacious. Yet, out of pain, people become bolder. He wonders why God has cast him out forever, an exaggeration aimed to elicit a response from God. The notion of God hiding his face has sources in the Torah, where God says that because of the sin of Israel, he will hide his face and as such allow for the enemy to defeat Israel. We should conclude that the psalmist is aware of this and either rejects the notion that they have sinned in order to cause this punishment, or reject the notion that their sins were large enough to wreak such havoc, to allow such torture, to watch his children suffer so. The psalm concludes with a call to God, for God to rise up, help, redeem Israel. Why? Leman chasdecha, which could either mean because of God's covenant he made with the forefathers that he would have compassion and kindness to their descendants, or perhaps it means for your name as one who is kind and compassionate. Either way, the psalm desperately calls out to God for salvation. After having prayed sufficiently, the psalm invokes the grace of God to stop hiding his face and to come to the aid of his children who are in pain.